May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Until I come to the place where I'm soaked in it enough to start Romans on Wednesday nights, those of you who are here during the day will get little snippets of things I'm discovering, because I'm just too sanguine to save it all for when we start Romans on Wednesday nights. Though, what we do will be expanded versions and with greater clarity, but I was last night. I used to think when Phil's four girls were growing up, when I went to Junior Miss Pageants, and Junior Miss Pageants lasted, there were 2 days of them, and they lasted like 2 or 3 hours each night. And I used to think that's what hell would be like, perpetual Junior Miss Pageant that just never ends. But I think it's a combination of that and Dixie Youth Baseball, if you have six grandsons. They're just a game every minute of every day, every week. So when I got home from one of them last night, that just hanging out some in Romans, I just really, it's just this word. So I don't know if I can do justice. Holy Spirit will speak what you need to hear, I trust. But it's so exciting to me. The book of Romans basically is about the gospel. But of course, that's really the whole, since Genesis 3, when man fell, it's all about the gospel. And there are times in the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the book of Acts, where it's referred to as the gospel of the kingdom. But that's few and far between to the many times it's referred to as the gospel of God or the gospel of Christ. There's one time it's referred to as the gospel of the grace of God or the gospel of the glory of God in Christ. But it just struck me so much. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and this is the gospel, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. What's really struck me, what's fascinated me, what I'm seeing just through a glass darkly, I'm getting glimpses, and so I will press in and obsess in, and you will get it, CTKers, you'll get it poured in ad nauseum until it becomes clearer and clearer to me. There are times in the scriptures where it's just referred to as the gospel. But I love this because he refers to it as the gospel of God. Often when we think about the gospel, which the word simply means good news, we all know that. That's what it means, good news. In that we talk about preaching the gospel, we're talking about the good news for people, about what was accomplished for them by Christ. And here are the good news. Like the good news originates with the sermon, this message. The good news is this message. And this message you all get to hear, and the good news is a message. But what we forget is that it's the good news of God. It's God's good news. It's his good news that we get to hear. It doesn't start with about us hearing. It starts with about the good news that he promised beforehand through his prophets and Holy Scriptures. The scripture talks about this was hidden in past ages. It was a mystery, but it's now been revealed. It's referred to as the wisdom of God that was a mystery that's now been revealed. But I love the fact that he refers to it as the gospel of God. Now, I don't know about you, and God's emotions are perfect and much bigger than ours, is that the idea the Holy Spirit's trying to communicate here is that when somebody has good news that is a game changer for the person they're going to give the good news to, and it's good news from them, so it's got really nothing to do with you other than you get to experience the good news. It's the good news I've come up with. It's good news that I've participated in accomplishing. It's good news that's been worked out behind the scenes you didn't even know about when things seem so bleak and so helpless. It's the good news. And then for me and my personality, obviously this morning I'm a good example. I can't hold that in. I can't wait to tell the person the good news. I believe that when he says something like this, it's the good news of God set apart for the gospel of God, that God was giddy. God is giddy about the good news. As tragic as we all think often in terms of the cross, I remember growing up that sometimes there were some religious groups, Christian groups, that called it Black Friday or Dark Friday. But it's really Good Friday. And as painful as it was, you understand that God was giddy about it all. It was the revelation of the good news. It was the proclamation of the good news. So you hear me? There's something so grace-filled about that statement. Set apart for the good news of God. It's His good news. And he couldn't wait to tell it. In the fullness of time, he did. He did. He's giddy about it. His good news. You see, there's not one thing that human beings could do to get to God. Religion is man trying to better themselves to get to God. Man trying to climb to be better themselves to get to God. The gospel is God coming down to get to us. Because there's not one thing we could do to get to him. We were utterly and totally helpless and hopeless. And so this is God's good news. And the good news is concerning his son. And he says, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, why is that such good news? Because God's solution, God's good news, God's wisdom, God's genius, God's brilliance is this. The only way I can fix this mess is in my son. And what he's going to do, he's going to come and be born according to the flesh. And he's going to clothe himself in broken humanity. He's going to clothe himself in wretched, sinful humanity. He never sinned, but he clothed himself in broken humanity. He represented all mankind. And he's going to take that broken humanity to the cross and annihilate it. And then raise up in his person a whole new humanity. He's going to clothe himself with us so that we can clothe ourselves with him. He's going to become like us so that we can become like him. Now that's really good news. If your aspiration in life was to be a great baseball player, but you were totally limited by the fact that you are not a very good baseball player. And I guess the greatest baseball player in the world today is Mike Trout, who plays for the Angels. And if Mike Trout were to come up to you and say, here's the deal. There's not one thing you can do. You can practice all you want to. You're never going to be good enough. But I'm going to clothe myself in you so that you can clothe yourself in me. And you're going to have everything, all the ability, all the potential, all that I am. And playing baseball. That's really good news. And you go, well, what do I do? Believe it. That's why C.S. Lewis talked about it, the deeper magic. It's referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. It's his good news. The good news of God. It's about his grace and about his gift. Because a gift was the only way we could get out of the mess that we were in. So how does that apply for those of us? Here's the sad thing. Is that so many Christians need to hear the gospel. Paul talks about proclaiming in this chapter, first chapter of Romans, proclaiming, he said, I can't wait to come to Rome to proclaim the gospel to you. Who? To these Roman Christians. Because so many Christians don't know how good the good news is. They think the good news is just, well, if I pray this prayer, I'll get to go to heaven one day. If I pray this prayer, it's whatever. I'm going to get to now pursue God. No, the good news of God, this is God's good news. We need to be quiet and listen to what God says about his good news. And the good news is that for every area of your life that you're still dealing with in terms of bondage to sin in disposition or behavior, in brokenness, he took care of that already. And you've clothed yourself in Christ, who doesn't have those issues. And all we have to do is believe that part of the good news too for it to be manifested, because that was part of the original good news, the gospel from the beginning. That's why my spiritual father, Ian Thomas, used to say, evangelism starts with the saved. The saved need to be evangelized because they don't really understand the good news. And what we're proclaiming to the lost is not really the good news of God. We share part of the good news. But if we were able to proclaim to a person, if you could come to a lost person, a person whose life is falling apart, who's struggling in the world, and you would say, here's the deal. Everything that you've done and you've screwed up has been undone in God. And he wants to give you now a life that's supernatural, and you won't do that anymore, and you won't live like that anymore, and you'll live a supernatural life. What do you think? What do I got to do to have that belief? And it's a miracle. We've so philosophized the gospel, we think it's just believe this information, join the club, and it's now a self-improvement program that's got a religious thing stamped to it. It's a miracle. It's deep magic. It's God's good news. And God's good news is always bigger. than what we could ever imagine. Amen? So I hope that makes sense. I know that my skin is jumping out about that simple word. Paul said, the good news of God, it's God's good news. And it's all concerning his son, Jesus. It's all in the person of Christ. That in Christ, everything's changed. I asked George how he was doing today. He said, I'm in Christ. And it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any bigger than that either. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.